Good Mail.
This is our Truth in 10 segment where Pastor Mark answers your prophecy or Bible questions in 10 minutes or less. Pastor Mark, this question comes from Jeanette, who lives in Santa Clara, California. Listens to us out there in California, so we appreciate that, Jeanette. And her question is regarding Enoch. She says, I have heard Pastor Mark say that Moses would be one of the two witnesses, but I have also heard that Enoch would be the second witness and not Moses because he didn't die but was taken like Elisha. What are your thoughts on Enoch?
Yeah, what a great question, and I want to try to be as thorough as I can. And first of all, just say that I am not the authority. I don't know for sure who the two witnesses will be. Only God knows. But here's what we do know. We do know for a fact that Elisha will be one of them. Elijah. We know that Elijah will be one of them. How do we know that? Because the Bible tells us that in the day that the Lord returns, in Malachi, it says that Elijah will come. And he'll be one of those coming back in the last days as the two witnesses. We don't know who the other one is. And Enoch is one of them that's speculated. Actually, there's several names. Some say Moses, which I believe, and I'll tell you why in just a moment. Some say Enoch for the reason you just brought up, Jeanette. And then some say that it might even be Zerubbabel, because it talks about Zerubbabel building God's temple, and there's some indications or implications of the last days of Zerubbabel doing that. So those are some of the names that are thrown around. We know Elijah for sure is one of them. But why do I believe that it's going to be Moses and Elijah and not Enoch or Zerubbabel? First of all, let's talk about this whole theory or speculation about Enoch and the fact that Enoch didn't die. And the verse that people usually use, Jeanette, in relation to that is those that believe this or stand in that position. And I'm not saying they're wrong. I'm saying here's where they stand. The Bible says that it's appointed for man to die once and then the judgment. The problem is the premise is it falls apart when you look at it scripturally. And what do I mean by that? The argument is, well, because Enoch never died, he has to be the other witness. Well, when the rapture takes place, millions will be gone without dying. So if you follow that logic, it could be a choice of millions of people who could be the second witness because there are going to literally be millions who will never die. They'll live, they'll never die, they'll just be translated into heaven. So if the argument is because Enoch never died, he must be the other witness, well, then you have to say, what about the other millions that will never die as well? So I dismiss that as a doctrinal reason to believe that it's Enoch. However, I'm not saying that it's not Enoch for sure, only God knows, but I can't say that it's Enoch based on that argument because we have all the millions of believers that won't be dying either. So I kind of put Enoch to the side. We'll wait and see. Zerubbabel, I don't see fitting that bill for a number of reasons. I won't get into that. Number one is Enoch. Again, I don't think a great enough indication that that Zerubbabel could be one that would come back and do that. But then you look at Moses and Elijah. Again, we know Elijah is one of them. Why do I believe it's Moses and Elijah? Here are the reasons. Number one, Moses, for the believer, for the Jew, represented the law. Elijah also represented the prophets. And so Jesus, of course, the whole Bible and the New Testament, but you have Moses and Elijah are the two that the Jews have always seen as the main staples or the foundation for the law and the prophets. And so to me, that's one positive element there. They represent the law and the prophets. And so they would be, again, obvious possibilities for being those two witnesses. Also, you remember when Jesus came and transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration, it says that two people showed up to talk about end times with Jesus. And guess who the two were? Moses and Elijah. So once again, you see Moses and Elijah having an end times prophecy conference with Jesus on Mount Hermon. And again, why were they discussing end times? You know, yeah, the Lord could just be wanting to talk about that, but I think probably discussing what their roles are going to be. When you guys come back, here's what you'll be doing. And letting basically the disciples see that take place. To me, that's another strong reason that it's Moses and Elijah. Also, we see, and again, this one is not as strong to me, but I will bring it up, the abilities of the two witnesses in Jerusalem in what they can do. Such as plagues and calling down fire. We know that Moses and Elijah were used in that way, but I don't put a lot of clout in that particular argument because God can give that ability to any of his followers. It doesn't say that it's limited to Moses and Elijah to be able to plague things and call down fire. I mean, I think that can happen with anyone. Even the Antichrist will be able to call down fire. So angels apparently have some limited ability there. So I don't see that necessarily as a strong argument for that. I only point it out because that's one of the things you're going to hear out there in relation to this. But probably to me, one of the strongest arguments that it's Moses and Elijah, and really for me, what makes me feel very confident that it is those two, is they're the only two that their bodies were buried by God and have been supernaturally, it would appear, preserved. Now, I can't say for sure, and let me explain why. It's also interesting where they both died. When you look in the scripture, Moses, he died at Mount Nebo, near Mount Nebo, where God said, you're going to die now. And it says that God took Moses' body and buried him, and nobody knows, in some valley, and nobody knows where he buried him. We just know that Moses is there buried near Mount Nebo in that valley. Well, Mount Nebo is right across from Jericho, down there at the Bethabara region, where the children of Israel came into the land and John the Baptist was down there baptizing. And it's where Elijah and Elisha crossed over the Jordan River when Elijah was about to be taken up into heaven. So they cross over the Jordan. They're in the same area right there. I mean, you can see Mount Nebo right there. It's that area is where they are. And all of a sudden God comes and takes Elijah by a whirlwind and disappears with him. And we know that Elijah did not go up to heaven where God is at that point. He was taken up into heaven. That is the earthly heaven. Remember, there's three heavens. There's the heaven around the earth where the birds fly. There's the second heaven, the Bible says, where the stars are. And there's the third heaven where God lives, as the Bible describes them. We know that Elijah did not go up to the third heaven or the second heaven or even remain in the first heaven because there would be no place for him to go. We know at that time there was, again, the gathering to the saints, the Bible talks about, which is a whole other teaching, in a place called paradise where Jesus told the man on the cross he would be with him in that day. Until Jesus died on the cross, there was no way to go into the third heaven. So, again, all the Old Testament saints and everyone that died prior to the cross went to this paradise. And so Elijah was taken, we know biblically, to that paradise because that's where the believers go, and the Bible tells us that prior to the cross. So what happened to his body? Well, he was taken up in the whirlwind by the chariot of fire. And remember, they bugged Elisha. They said, go back and let us see if we can find his body. Maybe his body fell on the mountain somewhere over there. We got to go get him and give him a proper burial because it was really not good to not bury Jews properly.
Yeah.
So they go look, and Elisha's like, look, you're not going to find him. God took him. No, let us go. Please let us go. All right, go. But you're going to find out I'm right. They go. They spend 3 days looking for Elijah. They don't find his body. They come back and say, we didn't find his body. Like, didn't I tell you? You weren't going to find his body. So let it go. God took him. So even as God buried Moses, I believe that is there's a very strong scriptural argument. Even though the Bible didn't come right out and say that God buried Elijah, I believe God did. And I think there's a strong biblical argument for that because God honors the bodies of saints. And even passed that on to the Jews where it was a disgrace not to have your body buried. As a matter of fact, part of God's judgment against the children of Israel is that their bodies would lay out in the open and just decay and the animals would eat them if they rebelled against God. It was part of his judgment. So being buried was very important. So God, no doubt, I think, great scriptural argument, took Elijah's body and buried it right there in that area as well and took his spirit on to paradise where he waited until, of course, Christ came and everyone entered the kingdom of God. Now, why is this so interesting? Well, that would mean there are only two people that we know of whose bodies were buried specifically by God. They're the only two we know in Scripture. Enoch's body wasn't buried by God. Zerubbabel's body wasn't buried by God. God buried Elijah and Moses himself. And also what adds to this, so that puts a special thing about their bodies. I'm making a point about their bodies, their physical earthly body. But it's also interesting to me that they were buried within eyesight of each other. They're both buried right there somewhere near Mount Nebo, right across from Jericho, in that same little region, in some valley. And I personally believe God has preserved their bodies so that in the last days he can let their spirit re-enter those two God-buried, preserved bodies, have them get up out of those tombs, walk into Jerusalem, and then start their ministry of 3.5 years of being the two witnesses. So I think when you see the fact that God buried them specifically, which would indicate a preserved body. We see that Jesus met with them specifically in the promised land as some kind of end times prophecy meeting there, the Bible tells us. We see they were buried right close to each other, within proximity of each other. And it would appear to me from that, we know that one of them for sure is Elijah. So it seems to me a very strong biblical hint by God that, again, it's going to be Moses and Elijah, which I think is cool because Moses, remember, wanted to go into the promised land and he couldn't get in the promised land. And God is going to, again, I think, let him go in that he never got to do. And Greg, here's what's cool. Because I believe that their bodies are buried there, that their bodies are preserved, that their spirits are going to enter. And how these caves are blocked or where they are, I don't know. But I believe you're going to see when the time comes, those caves opened up. These two men are going to come walking out with their bodies preserved and their clothing from thousands of years ago. I think God's going to preserve. I think Moses is going to look just like he did. Same sandals, same everything, walk out of that tomb. I think Elijah's going to come out all hairy and with his, you know, sackcloth stuff on whatever, and just, you know, locust legs hanging out of his mouth. And they're going to start walking and they're going to start walking toward.
That's a picture.
Start walking together. I think they're going to meet up, walk to the Jordan. I think it's going to split for a third time. Well, yeah, a third time, just like it did when the children of Israel went in, and then when Elijah and Elisha came across the first time. I think they're going to strike it. I think it's going to split like it did for him, like it did for Moses at the Red Sea. I think they're going to walk across on dry land. It's going to come back together. These guys are going to walk up to Jerusalem, go right to the middle of the heart of it, and everybody's going to know these are supernatural people. Probably know that they're the revived Moses and Elijah as they start their ministry there, and God's going to supernaturally protect them for 3.5 years. So it's an exciting, exciting scene when you play it out in your mind. And I've said many times before, Greg, you've heard me say it numerous times, what a great movie that would be. And I've already got the intro scene. It starts out from the inside of the tomb, and you see this tomb, and all of a sudden this stone rolls back or a door opens, and this man sits up that's got a beard and all this stuff and stands up and walks out. You see his shadow. Another one gets up out of another tomb. He walks out. They come together. They look at each other, and these bearded giants for God go walking up toward Jerusalem with the Red Sea splitting, and you have this whole, you know, name the movie, 3.5 years. You know, and boom, this whole thing going on there where they do this judgments on the earth and God protects them. And they're it's just, again, I get excited thinking about it. We're going to be watching it from heaven during the wedding supper of the Lamb.
Yeah.
But that is why I think there's a very strong biblical argument for it being Moses and Elijah. I believe there's a weak argument for it being Zerubbabel, or weaker for being Zerubbabel and Enoch. But only God knows. And so there's where I stand, Jeanette. There's my answer. And so I hope that helps with your question.
Yes, indeed. Thank you for that question, Jeanette. And if you've got a question like Jeanette, we invite you to visit thewaymedia.net. Just click on Signs of the Times. You can do that on the website or in our Way Media app and send your prophecy question in, and Pastor Mark will answer it on our next broadcast.